Now, we are moving to Brewocracy Now! It is 12:30 here at KPTZ. Time for that show, our weekly opportunity to talk about what's going on in Port Townsend City Government. I'm Phil Andrus, hosting in the place of Taylor Clark. Co-host is City Manager John Morrow, and with me is the Mayor of Port Townsend, my first opportunity to meet the gentleman, David Faber. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Phil, good to see you.
Good to see you too, John. So, what you folks want to talk about today?
Great question. John, do you have anything top of mind you want to lead off with?
Oh, well, Mr. Mayor, you go right ahead. We've had a bit of a coordinated week here between City Council and City Staff and some work there to talk about, but that's the only thing top of mind for me.
All right, well...
Oh. Well, I need to interrupt because I forgot one important thing. If listeners would like to ask questions of David Faber, Mayor Faber, or City Manager John Morrow, write to us here, dj@kptz.org. I will field the questions and pass them on. Sorry for the interruption.
Hey, no problem. I was just steaming full speed ahead. So yeah, I've seen John a lot this week. It's been great. It's a good thing that we like each other. But yeah, we started off the week on Monday with an all-day retreat for the City Council and City Staff to talk about our 2023 work plan. And I have to say, that was a phenomenal success. It really had all the council members together, some who had to come quite a distance because they missed a flight and drove internationally from Canada to arrive on time. That was Aislinn Diamanti. It was a great meeting. And John, you did a fantastic job leading that off. And I think we have a very ambitious work plan for 2023. But you know, a lot of mindful intensity and desire to deliver some big things for the community.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one of the things that came out for me, aside from like to try to take on probably a little too much next year, but you know, that's kind of my style, I guess, is, and I think I know it's yours as well, Mayor Faber. We're really thinking more strategically about multiple years and like setting ourselves up for success and even advancing some things that frankly have been kind of fallen off the radar over the past several years. So there's a lot there. But I almost want to say that the real priority was kind of the one team approach. And I really appreciate both members of the public, advisory body chairs who showed up, folks who streamed in. You know, one of the things that a retreat like that does, aside from, you know, all collectively rowing forward, is to kind of define the opportunities for our community at large to play a role. And I guess without that, we're not much. And for me, you know, being very explicit that City Council guide our and decide on our policy direction and our strategic direction as a community, you know, my role is kind of in between, and then staff is operationalizing that vision in that direction. And the public are always welcome to attend, including that retreat session, but every City Council meeting and every topic that you care about. And I think to show up and actually support the things that are meaningful to you is how to make an impact here locally. And we really, really need that.
Very well said. Yeah. Showing up to the meetings is key. Hopefully we can get more people to show up and participate in local government, because we very much on council, and I know John welcomes feedback from people, very much on council, love to have the public engaged in what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mayor Faber, if I don't recall, we there was a lot of things that were put on the table for next year, big decisions, you know, everything from, you know, how to really dig deep on housing availability and affordability, how to progress things from parking to deer, how to, you know, provide a vision for parks and recreation in the future, how to deliver, you know, our sustainable financing foundation as a community. I mean, there's just a ton of things that City Council is going to be weighing and considering, and so many opportunities for people to literally roll up their sleeves, join us at the table at a community charrette or at the farmer's market or at an event, and be part of that vision.
Absolutely.
Am I supposed to offer some guidance here?
well,
I'm happy to do that. I'm curious. You have a plan. I don't think you've said much about what's in it.
Oh, Mayor Faber, you want to take a cut of that, or you want me to top level it?
Sure. I can say a few things. I mean, with the strategic plan, one of the major components that kind of leads top of mind and top of the list is recognizing that there's all the things that the city does day to day that has to keep doing. You know, make sure, as our former mayor Michelle Sandoval liked to say, when you turn the tap on, clean water comes in, and when you flush the toilet, dirty water goes out, right? Those are the kind of core functions of the city, along with our police department and permitting and all the stuff that we have to do day to day. So that's a major component of the list. Probably takes about half the list up, really, and really to what John said of the retreat, and then just now, it encapsulates probably close to 100% of the staff capacity most of the time. But then beyond that, we have a number of items on the agenda that for next year and looking at future years as well that John mentioned. Housing is the number one issue for me, absolutely forefront of my mind. Some big things that we want to try and look at doing either next year or setting the table so that we can take on those things, although the list of potential policy approaches in the next couple of years. But we have a lot of work to do on that topic. Parking management, the deer. Yeah, John mentioned all those kind of core policy things that we really need to buckle down and start working on.
Yeah, and Mayor Faber nails it too. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that even those of us who are very close to the city or happen to be, you know, helping to run and operationalize the city don't always see that happen behind, you know, the scenes to make sure that, you know, permits can come in and get processed, and that library books keep moving through, and that, you know, public safety is maintained. I mean, there's just a ton of operational stuff. But, you know, I really appreciate Mayor Faber recognizing that, and a staff that, you know, some staff have been here for a really long time, continuing to make sure those services are delivered. But I think, you know, the strategic stuff is, for me, kind of how do we get better at that stuff? How do we deliver better value? How do we deliver, you know, higher level of service? How do we do it in better concert with our community and think about the long term? Anything on that list of priorities we talked about at the retreat really is how to make the operational stuff even more valuable, how to generate more value out of that. And so I know last week when I was here with there was a KPTZ board member, happened to be a city council member as well, Monica McHager, we kind of went through some of those top line items, like, you know, investing in our people. When I say people, I mean everybody. Engaging our community. When I mean community, I mean everybody. You know, there's a bunch of line items under each of those things that we unpacked last week. But largely, you know, the council at the retreat Monday really massaged that, discussed it, talked about the interdependencies and the sort of strategic lens on all of this. You know, we made some minor modifications since Monday based on council feedback. But I heard mainly a let's roll up our sleeves and dive in more than almost anything else.
Absolutely.
So on your list, I live out in the county, as John knows, David knows now anyway. And so the relationship between the county and the city is important to me. I have in my life, if I had more than 2 feet, I'd probably have feet in different places. But right now I have one in Port Townsend pretty much a lot of the time. And of course, out home, out in the county. Did you all discuss your relationship with the county, how the two levels of government can work together and how maybe improve the way you work together, different areas in which you can cooperate?
Which county, Phil, are we talking about?
No other county for me than Jefferson, John. No other county for me.
I'm kidding. Mayor Faber, I don't need to jump in here. I think I've got a bit of a example I could use as an answer.
Please. But, yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Oh, no, I'm just going to say already today. So I traded emails with the county administrator. I was in a meeting online with a county commissioner, KT, and I started my day at 8 o'clock at Aldrich's with the county planning director and planning manager and our new planning director to have a conversation about how we work together. So I know it's only noon, but three out of my six meetings already today included half of them with the county. And so clearly the intersections with Jefferson County are almost hourly, and top marks to, you know, the teams that we work with there and the leadership and elected leadership. It's been, I don't want to make too much hay out of this, but it's been a bit of a sea change in the level of trust and coordination that's been built. And it's helped us in our community win both state and national awards. So I know we're not there yet, but we're certainly moving in pretty good harmony. And I'd say our elected officials, like Mayor Faber, the way that they've stewarded, you know, a response to COVID, a look at economic development, alignment of our capital programs together, that's really been a lot of heavy lifting by elected leadership at county and city council. So, we have disagreements every day, and that's how you move forward together. But I'm really pleased with, how we've, I think, maybe stabilized the relationship, and actually now we can actually talk about how we serve our community better.
Yeah, the relationship between the city and the county in the now 6.5 years I've been on council has improved dramatically, to John's point of something of a sea change. And that's on the backs of all kinds of people in both city government and county government, and for that matter, other local taxing jurisdictions like the PUD and the port and so forth, really attempting to coordinate and work together much better. And John has done a remarkable job since coming on as our city manager at the end of 2019 of making sure that there is very frequent check-ins between him, his office, members of his staff, with those other jurisdictions. And so I don't know if there's any item specifically on our strategic work plan for 2023 that calls out that coordination or that relationship, but that's been a driving principle behind kind of the way that we've been operating, knowing that we're, to use a somewhat overused phrase, but we're all in this together. And, you know, we're a small jurisdiction in a low population county, needing to make sure that we work together to achieve the best things we can for all of the people who live here. And Port Townsend is a part of Jefferson County. It's not like the county is some separate thing. It definitely has its separate governance structure, but, you know, we're all needing to make sure that we deliver what we can to improve the lives of people here in general.
Thank you, Mayor Faber. John, have you topics you'd like to bring up?
Oh, I was just going to keep going with that one and just say, it's not unnoticed by our state and federal delegation either. And I was on the phone yesterday with Congressman Kilmer's district director, and she and I were talking about how, you know, both, you know, recognizing Congressman Kilmer's actually pulled pretty heavily for both Port Townsend and Jefferson County, particularly around sewer infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Those were projects that he supported through congressional appropriations process, which is looking pretty darn good, frankly, for both Havelock Sewer, but also Evans Vista and our $2.5 million ask of Congressman Kilmer and his team. What that does for our ability as a wider region to access state and federal funds and actually show that we're not going to have internal squabbles about it and be fighting over the pie. We're going to be growing the pie together. I think that goes a long way for our community and its future. And, you know, if I were a philanthropist or a congressperson thinking about where to place money strategically, I certainly would be steered away from those who can't agree to disagree and who can't get along. And so I think, you know, that was an opportunity for us just to, you know, sail right through those processes and really appreciate the state and federal support.
Mayor Faber? No, John Morrow. Questions. Ooh.
Well, I was going to show this. I was going to show this visual. I was going to go right into housing, because Mayor Faber is just, dare I say, like, just super ambitious and hungry for changing to housing, how we do housing and housing policy. And I also appreciate it's a multi-year process, so lots of wins and lots of, you know, work to do. But one of the things I wanted to mention here is just to get people pumped up for these Under the Tent events, and with a huge appreciation for Housing Solutions Network, Community Build. They launched this thing last month where every housing provider, agency, almost every elected member, people showed up literally under the tent to have a conversation about how we work together to do something, not to block something or to, you know, sort of black hat something, but actually how to contribute together. And it was such a great event that it was decided kind of on the spot that this should continue every month. And so there's one actually coming up on the 28th of July. And then I was, you know, just making sure that there's a little bit of airtime there to say, go gather under the tents. They're going to actually show Community First, a home for the homeless film inside the Evangelical Bible Church at 3 p.m. And then there's a conversation with faith-based communities to discuss housing solutions starting at 4. Mm-hmm. And then the next intergovernmental collaborative group, which is city, county, port, PUD, and elected members, is hosting an August special meeting on the 18th, specifically to talk about housing policy and partnerships and community engagement. So, you know, these are very well connected to our work plan we went through just this week and how to deliver success around housing.
Yeah, I probably scare John sometimes with how much I want to do on housing. But to his credit, he also wants to do big things and push some things forward. But yeah, the Under the Tent event, I was unfortunately not able to attend the last one, which was a significant disappointment to me. But I will be at the event this coming Thursday at 3 p.m., to talk about some of the issues that, as John mentioned, the faith-based community specifically would like to have addressed regarding housing policy.
And Mayor Faber makes up for lost time because in August, as the rotating chair, it comes to the governing body of Port Townsend and the presiding officer to open up that meeting too. So Mayor Faber, we look forward to seeing you again in August for a repeat.
And I need to add here that we welcome questions from listeners written in an email to DJ, as in disc jockey, but just DJ, at kptz.org. Send your question our way. Direct them to either Mayor Faber or City Manager Morrow, and I will pass your question along. On your mind, Mayor Faber, what else?
Well, I think I'd be remiss, and if I don't address that there is an article in the Leader yesterday pertaining to the annual review of our city manager, John Morrow. There was a lot of unfortunate aspects of that article because it called out from a generally extremely positive review, only negative commentary, basically. And it's important to understand for the people who are listening here that we on the city council have incredible faith in John Morrow. I mean, he is a very smart and capable manager who does a great job day to day for the city. And so the apparent attempt to drive a wedge or make it look like there's a crisis or something horrible going on behind the scenes is not accurate at all. I received a phone call from one of our council members who was quoted in the article, who was nearly having a breakdown over the fact that they were quoted to seem to suggest that they thought John was doing a bad job when it was the exact opposite. So I just wanted to speak to that for a moment, that anyone who read that article should know that there is a lot more complexity to the situation than was presented in that article.
John, have you comments?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess maybe my perspective, and I really appreciate you just raising it, Mayor Faber. I think, you know, what I try to do generally, but also on this really awesome channel of community radio, is to just speak the truth and kind of not to hold back and just kind of say what's on my mind. And so, you know, doing that about negative perceptions in my own review from council who I'm partly talking to now is a great opportunity to just no holds barred be completely who I am here. And so, you know, with both appreciation and I think with an eye for lessons learned here, you know, I think a lot of folks weren't necessarily aware of the process or how to add value. And, you know, and frankly, some of the members who provided the commentary about my 2021 year review were actually not council members at that time, you know, and not that that should disqualify them, but it's just, there's not a lot of information and exchange and experience to actually draw on to make a review. So I think all around, there's some lessons learned. I mean, look, I get all sorts of stuff every day that could threaten to shake my confidence, or, you know, people tell me things that are not true all the time. And allegedly I'm, you know, I've got these, you know, devious thoughts or intentions, but, you know, I think all I can do is just be who I am and to lead with confidence, with an eye and an ear for constructive criticism. And I think, as I said in the article, to really push back on either bullying behavior or people who are out of bounds. And I really feel strongly about that. And, you know, for those who are listening, who I have had some difficult conversations with, look, I'll be kind, but I'll also be very clear. And I think that's the way to recalibrate how to have effective relationships. And I've always prided myself on that. I've received that feedback through previous organizations, and I know I don't do it perfectly, but that integrity matters to me more than almost anything else. So, hey, lessons learned. We're all on a journey. I really appreciate your thoughts, Mayor Faber, and onward we go.
Indeed.
Further questions, further comments, Mayor Faber?
Nothing on that topic. I don't. Do we have any listener?
We do not.
Oh, nothing.
Not a single one. I was just going to say that if I don't think anybody has ever received a 100% favorable review, and if they have, it was not a thorough review.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly how I did my. That's almost exactly how I started my self-assessment when I wrote to council about how I thought the year went. I said, if it's all 100% good, then I'm not telling you the truth. So yeah. You also see that in the annual report. I mean, we learned some lessons last year, as we do every year. And let's just be upfront about it and say, look, we didn't think it was going to go this way. And hey, we learned something. And let's carry that forward. So I appreciate that comment, Phil.
Anything else you'd like to talk about, John Morrow?
Well, you know, there's a lot moving forward in the housing realm, and I think also we should be known that Mayor Faber has been generously, you know, invited to join us every quarter at the very least to give mayoral perspective, and I'm excited for that, David, so that we can, you know, talk both at the policy and governance level from your perspective, as well as the operational executive level from mine, and you know, invite anybody who's listening, because I know people do listen to this. I invite you to participate too. And I think I said this on a conference call yesterday. We were talking a group I won't necessarily need to name, but we're talking about how to engage our community to get constructive feedback on something. And I actually noted that KPTZ is a great place to have people listen, think about things, and then maybe later you respond with a comment or a suggestion. I really like the format, even better when people are here. But we invite that, you know, perennially, because there are a lot of clear thinking, community minded individuals out there that can make us better at what we do. So please take the opportunity.
We would like to have questions from our listeners. And we do have about another 7 minutes. So maybe within the next 2 or 3 minutes, DJ@kptz.org. Question will be directed to whomever it is intended to go to. Mayor Faber.
Speaking of housing, I'm always happy to talk housing policy and so forth. I don't know how far we want to go into it right now, and I think that it would make sense to make a larger show in the future, one of the other quarters I'm on, to talk about some of the policy changes we've been talking about preliminarily. But one of the incredible things with the retreat we did on Monday was this policy mapping exercise. This was a great idea John had to start from all of us on council and staff and who were present to take sticky notes and put down sort of the outcomes we're looking for. You know, think about not the policy, but what is the result of the policy we're hoping to achieve, right? And so we had, I don't even know, 50 stickies up on the board about everything with regard to housing, everything from ensuring that we have a diverse community economically, that we have walkable homes, that we have reduced drunk driving, because for instance if you live further away from say a bar or restaurant, you're more likely to get behind the wheel after you've had something to drink, whereas if you live close in or have access to transit, you can have other ways of moving about. So there's all kinds of things we identified as sort of the end goal. What are we trying to deliver for the community? And then prior to that point, then we had different places to put stickies for other things, everything from what we think the policy lever could be to address those issues to what are the groups we have to engage with and have conversations with and make sure are at the table to have their voice heard and make sure that we have the robust and thoughtful policy that we need to have to reach those outcomes. And so that was a process that John spearheaded, and I thought worked very well, very, very well.
So to keep this process from being just sticky business,
yeah,
who cracks the whip and how is it done?
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. I don't think there's any whips involved, Phil. I think it was whipless. But David, you might have a different perspective.
That's a metaphor, John.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm prepared to get the whip out in the future, but I don't think I have to. Yeah. But to that question, John mentioned the work plan's ambitious. I mean, all of us are cracking the proverbial whip. You know, we recognize that there is a lot that probably should have been done a long time ago, and there's a lot that we need to start acting on as quickly as possible. And of course we need to make sure that we do that intelligently. We do that well. I mean, we don't want to, what's the phrase, ready, shoot, aim. That's not the approach we want to take with
well
this,
said.
But at the same time, it's incumbent upon us to behave, very thoughtfully as well as quickly on this. And so maybe it's the community that has the whip, because we hear from people all the time. I mean, housing affordability in our community is well, basically non-existent now. I mean, we've had years of double-digit increases in property values, and then according to Windermere's report, a 22% increase in average house price over the last year. That's scary, because we don't have wage growth anywhere near that level. And so people are finding they're squeezed out more and more, especially the people, everyone from like your barista to a nurse or teacher or firefighter up to, I mean, doctors and lawyers and other people who are theoretically highly paid professionals are having trouble finding housing here. So we have to address it, and we have to address it as aggressively as we can without hopefully stepping in it, so to speak.
Thank you, Mayor Faber. John Morrow, I'm looking at my clock. I see about 2 minutes remaining. We have had still no questions, so I'm going to assume we're not going to have any. You're not going to get quite the last word, but almost.
Oh, that's nice. I look forward to your wrap-up, Phil, or Mayor Faber. I guess, you know, maybe my thoughts about this are that it's a little bit of a self-flagellation, and maybe the whip has multiple, you know, endpoints, and maybe it's used more as like a way to tie everything together instead of a way to, you know, incite action by violence. because I really do think, you know, we're realizing as a community, we can't afford not to work together. And I think that kind of goes to our previous conversation about working with a county. And, you know, the kind of conversations that we have with our housing providers and other agencies, and, you know, the urgency with which we need to move is so clear. And you know, that's my major driver here is how do we actually afford to keep people here, and how do we work to provide availability and reduce cost? And I think, you know, as Mayor Faber's saying, that whip comes out, there's moments where we need a big push, and we're going to probably maybe fail a little bit on something because we're moving quickly. And I think that's okay. So we're not going to get everything right. There's always 1,000 reasons not to do something. So we need to cut through and find a way to kind of get to the other side. And we're really committed to that, but we want to do so strategically. So that's, I get really excited about this stuff, and we'll unpack it next time.
And I will rephrase my question, and I appreciate Mayor Faber's response to it, actually. The rephrase will be, give a subtle nudge, and it indeed is upon us, the citizens.
Indeed, yeah, and I mean, that goes back to the very beginning of this meeting where people show up. I mean, show up to our meetings. We will be happy to hear you, happy to see you.
And this is my first meeting with Mayor Faber, and here's my last word, and that is, I was on the air several times with your predecessor, Michelle Sandoval, and I'm realizing how much I appreciate her. And I'm not exactly making believe that I'm looking across the table here and seeing Michelle, but I kind of miss her, you know. She did a wonderful job, and If Michelle is listening, and she may be, Michelle, I'm glad you got to hear that. And for everyone else, I'm glad they got to, too. This has been Brewocracy Now! My guests, our guests, our collective trio here, Mayor David Faber, City Manager John Morrow, I'm Phil Andrus, and I don't know who's going to be hosting this next week, but it'll be somebody other than myself. Probably not Taylor Clark, because Taylor is gone sailing. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm.